you will, turn back with me to Ezekiel 37. My message this morning, I have two titles. The first one is Preaching to Bones. That's what God commanded his prophet to do. Preach to the bones. The second is in a form of a question, can these bones live? You might ask yourself, what do these bones need to live? They need direction. They need counseling. What do these dry bones need to live? Now, Ezekiel was a prophet who lived and prophesied some 595 years before the coming of Christ. And because of the strange visions he wrote up, the prophet's writings were forbidden for anyone under the age of 30 by the Catholic Church for hundreds of years. They wouldn't let anybody. His writings, Ezekiel talked about these wheels and eyes within the wheels, and he talked about dry bones, all these strange things that he prophesied of. But what natural men call strange, the believer sees and perceives and acknowledges and rejoices in. He doesn't run away from it. He embraces it. And so it is in chapter 37 of this prophet's writings. There's three things which give me some confidence as I approach what some call a strange vision, to have a right understanding of it. First of all, because I know it speaks of my Redeemer and his work of salvation. How do I know that? Because I'm told that in Scripture. To him give all the prophets witness. Isn't that what it says over in the book of Acts? Acts 10:43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Every prophet in this book foretold of that. They declared that. Now our Lord, when he was talking to these two ignorant disciples of his, and we're so ignorant, God has to teach us everything. He has to unlearn us all the religious things that we picked up in our young life. And he's talking to his two disciples here, and they said, well, we thought Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. We thought. And he said, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the Lord has spoken about him. And beginning at Moses, first five books of the Bible, beginning at Moses, and listen, and all the prophets and the Psalms, he went through and preached to them everything in this book concerning him. Then the Scripture said, then opened he their understanding that they could understand the Scriptures. Secondly, I have some confidence in preaching from this text because I'm plainly told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. There's profit in it. We say there's no profit in reading these strange visions. God said there is. He said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And thereby we're truly furnished to fulfill our calling as ministers. There's no part of the Word of God that's unsafe. Don't you let somebody tell you, don't read the book of Revelation. That's not safe. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, it is. It's safe. No part of the Word of God that is unsafe, unprofitable, or unintended for you to hear and understand. Moses said to Israel, who ignored the words of his law, he said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. People are always wanting to know about the secret things. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children. What's revealed? Everything in this book. If God didn't intend for you to know it, he wouldn't have written it. It was written for our understanding. The Word of God is the revealed will of God and His testimony that He's given to us eternal life and that this life is in His Son. You can learn that in Jeremiah. You can learn that in Isaiah. You can learn that in the book of Ezekiel. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then thirdly, I have some confidence in preaching from this text because I know and understand the gospel of Christ. I know what this gospel teaches. I know what it declares. I'm a subject. I'm going to begin my subject in the form of a question, and according to the prophets, one which only God can answer. Only God can give an answer to this question. Can these bones live? This is a question that every God called messenger is made to answer and made to see by the Spirit of God. Knowing that all things are of the Lord, I want to point out to you this morning seven things that when they come to pass will fully answer this question, can these bones live? First of all, it begins where everything finds its beginning, with the hand of the Lord. Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord. That's how he began this prophecy. The hand of the Lord was upon him. What's that mean? Well, the hand of the Lord has to do with the power of the Lord. The power of God. None can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? This has to do with his power. Everybody who gathered together to crucify Christ did what God's hand and God's counsel determined before to be done. And speaking of his beloved sheep, Christ said, I give unto them eternal life and they'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. The hand of the Lord is the power of the Lord, and God always speaks about the right hand of his power. He over and over and over in the Scripture. Well, what is the right hand of his power? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm chapter 80, verse 17, he said, let thine hand be upon the man of thy right hand. The Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Huh? Would you agree? That's the hand of God's power is in his Son. In his Son. To the ascended victorious Christ, the Father said, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the blessed and only potentate, and he is the Lord of the dead and the Lord of the living. No man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. That's right. Old Balaam out there with his bad heart. You reckon he was living for Balaam? He thought he was. But no man liveth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We're in His hands. I tell you, that's shocking to a man who don't know that. That's shocking to that person, girl or boy or whoever it is. It's shocking to them because they think everything's in their hand. Everything's not in your hand, it's in His. You're in His hand to do with whatsoever He will. You're in His hand. Now you talk about put a man in desperation when he finds out he's in God's hand. And God will be perfectly righteous and perfectly just to do whatsoever He will with that man. He can save him by His grace to the glory of His mercy and grace, or He can send him to hell and charge him with his own sins. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. But here in our text, the hand of the Lord is not coming in some general sense, but in a particular sense. It comes to an individual. Comes upon Ezekiel. And I tell you, when God deals with His elect, it begins with the hand of the Lord laying hold on him. Now you'll know it when it happens. You're not going to say, well, what happened to me? No, you're going to know exactly. Isn't that what our Lord said at the end of this teaching, at the end of this lesson? He said, then you'll know that I am the Lord. I'm the Lord that prophesied this, and I'm the Lord that performed this. You'll know. The hand of the Lord was upon me, He said. And you're not going to see this until it is. It's not in you to see this until it is. Ezekiel's over here among what he thought was the living. He was over here and everything's all laid out. He had a mother and a father and sisters and brothers and everything's all here, and he's living life in the general sense just like we do. He didn't know anything about bones. Then secondly, he speaks of the Spirit of the Lord. Now don't forget what I just showed you from the Scriptures. The hand of God is Christ the Lord. That's the hand. So when he speaks of the Spirit of the Lord, he's talking about the Spirit of Christ. Now wait a minute, preacher. I think you're really reaching here a little bit, am I? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the apostle clearly reveals the gospel of Christ and all his elect being begotten unto a living hope. That is a hope based upon the success of a risen Savior who keeps us by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And in that great day of the Lord, we shall receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Now watch this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation, that salvation that he just declared, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of this grace that should come to you. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time, now watch this, that the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What was in them speaking about these things? The Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is often called in the Scripture the Spirit of Christ. Because our Lord said when He comes, when the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, and Christ is the truth, He tells us that plainly. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will not speak of Himself. And I'm telling you in as clear words as this preacher knows how to use, anybody who cries from the pulpit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, don't know the Holy Ghost. He will not speak of himself, but he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. That's his purpose in coming. That's what God has purposed who sent him. He's going to speak of Christ. And so he did in these prophets. He spoke of that grace that should come. Our Lord said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. The power of God lays hold on men by the Spirit of Christ. He lays hold of them, moves them, puts them where he wants them to be, shows them what he wants them to know. The prophet said, he carried me out. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. You ever been carried out? Well, I have. Not like Ezekiel, but when he comes, he'll carry you away from all these things that you thought you knew. He'll carry you right out of that mess where he wants you to be and show you what he wants you to know. So we've got the hand of the Lord, which is Christ, and we've got the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of Christ. Now here's the place of the Lord. Here's the place. He set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. God the Holy Spirit carried him away from those he had known all his life and from life as it is, as we look around, buying and selling, marrying and giving in marriage, and all these things going on that we call life. This is what we call life. This is how we, even in our minds, even if we don't say it with our mouth, it's still what we believe in our minds. We look around, and we're right in the middle of it, and we're involved in it. I got a son who just had twin baby girls. All these things are going on. They're going on. They're going on. But they detract from things as they really are. And now the Lord's going to take him out of this. And he's going to take him out here to this valley. And that's where he takes him. And this valley was full of bones. Carried him away from those he'd known all of his life and set him in the midst of a valley full of bones. There's nothing around him that even hints of the living. I don't imagine there was a weed growing in that place. There's nothing around him with any preaching potential. Somebody said, I think I'll go to San Francisco. Got some preaching potential there. There's no preaching potential in this valley of dry bones. It's just dry bones. He does not see this valley as a great missionary field. He sees it as a monument to the dead. He does not glean from this valley any dreams of building some great following. What he does do is sit there wondering why the Lord brought him out here. What in the world do these dry bones have to do with me? That's what Ezekiel's thinking about. He's not thinking about some power he's got to. No. No, he's wondering, why me? Why am I out here in the middle of this dead dry bone? Then secondly, verse 2, it says, he calls me. The Spirit of Christ did. He calls me to pass by them round about. Didn't leave him sitting there looking way out yonder at some dry bones. He caused him to go out where those bones were and look at all of them. He calls the Son of Man, which is what he calls Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to cause you to go out here and inspect these bones. I want you to see them for yourself. And so he does. He calls me to pass by them round about. Take a close look at them. Make a thorough survey of everything that you see. And here's what he learned. Behold, they were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. That's what he learned, looking at the bones. There's a lot of them, and they're all dry. I remember my brother telling me early in the ministry, he said, if I believe what you believe, he said, I wouldn't preach at all. If I believe God had an elect and all he's going to save was his elect, he wasn't going to save anybody else, he said, I wouldn't preach at all. And I said, on the contrary, if I believe what you believe, I wouldn't preach at all. If I believed in the will and works of men, that everything was up to them, God done all he can do, now it's all up to you. If I believed that, why would I bother to preach? Because there's none that understandeth and none that seeking after God, why would I preach? What would be the point? But that man chosen of God to be his ambassador must be, shall be, and continually convinced that man is nothing more than dead, dry bones. He's got no more potential than them bones. He's got no more ability than them bones. Dead, dry bones. And the place where God has chosen to send his preacher and build his church is in the valley of the dry bones. These bones, he said, are the whole house of Israel. This is my church. This is my elect. The valley was not filled with wounded men who needed cared for. It was not filled with confused and delirious men who'd lost their way and needed some direction. This valley was not filled with people who had lost sight of godliness and needed some moral reform. The valley had no potential of life. These bones just laid there sticking up out of the sand like monuments testifying of their death. All right, are you with me so far? The hand of the Lord, the power of God, moved. And when it did, the Spirit of the Lord carried him out into this valley. And then the Spirit caused him to examine these bones, take a close look, a close look. And then fourthly, here's the question. And this is the question which will set the tenor of how this man shall minister the gospel of Christ. Can these bones live? Now, if they can, then I'm not going to preach like I'm preaching to you. I'm going to make all my preaching appeal to you. I'm going to make all my preaching directed at you. But if they're dead, dry bones, all my preaching going to talk about him. I'll talk about him. This is what sets the tenor of how a man ministers the gospel of Christ. Sue Whitehead had been gone a pretty long time. Pretty long time. Any of you boys ever go out there at the cemetery to see if she's up walking around? No. How come? She's dead. She's dead. By God's own testimony, this world died in Adam. Death passed upon all men. Not physical death, although that happened too, but spiritual death. He said, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. You invite folks to come here, don't be selective. We do that, don't we? This man here, he's smart. We'll bring him because he's got the mind that can perceive these things. No, he's dead. Well, I don't want to ask him. He's been a rebel since he was born. He'd take his diaper off and turn it around the other way just to show you he wasn't going to do what you wanted him to do. He's a rebel. I ain't bringing him. He's dead. Don't be selective in those you invite to come and hear the gospel. They're all dead. Now, some are dead in religion. And some without it, but they're all dead. Some are moral and dead. And some of them are immoral and dead. But they're all dead. You see what he's teaching Ezekiel? These people, Ezekiel, to which I'm sending you to prophesy and to give my promises and to command to do what I command them to do, they're all dead. Can these bones live? Well, here's the fifth thing. And it's the only answer I've ever found anywhere in the scripture to that question. Here it is. O Lord God, thou knowest. Huh? Will anybody live here today to whom I'm preaching, to whom I'm delivering the word of the Lord? Will anybody here live? O Lord God, thou knowest. I don't know. I can't see any further than your outward countenance. I can see you when you smile, and I can see you when it seems like you're understanding what I'm saying, but I can't see your heart. God looks on the heart. I know this, and I believe this, and I leave it where God put it, in His own power and purpose. Two things are absolutely sure. Two things Ezekiel learned that day that are absolutely sure and certain. If the bones are left to themselves, they're never going to live. Huh? They laid out there till they bleached dry. No sign of life. No evolution going on in the valley of dry bones. They just laid out there dead and dry. Left to some potential, some ability, some freak of nature, some unforeseen circumstance. They'll continue on in their state of death until God calls them before His throne and their damnation becomes eternal. They'll stay just like they are. Ezekiel learned that. If it's left up to these bones, they're never going to change. Never going to change. And then secondly, if their salvation depends on some ability in Him, they're never going to change. Never going to change. We're not sufficient, Paul said, of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. And so I answer with Ezekiel, O Lord God, thou knowest. But this much Ezekiel learned. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Huh? Now if we truly believe this, we're going to wait for God's reply. And God's reply is going to set the tenor of our ministry. All right, here's the sixth thing. He said unto me, who said? Who's doing the speaking here? The Spirit of Christ. He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Get up here look out over this valley and preach to the bones. Boy, ain't many people sign up for the ministry if they really believe that. Preach to the bones. You wouldn't sit down and try to figure out how to woo a man down the aisle if all you could see was dry bones. Now you've already said, I can't do it. These bones can't do it. Oh Lord God, thou knowest if these bones can live. I don't know. All right. He that knows said, preach to the bone. Well, why don't we just give them all Bible and let them figure it out for themselves? Because they're bones. They're bones, that's why. Why can't I just pass out a bunch of pamphlets and give it to them? Drop it out of an airplane, fly over some foreign nation, over, fly over Africa with a big plane, just dump it out. Just let them fall wherever they will. Let them figure it out on their own. They're bones. They're not going to figure it out. Stand up before this great valley of death and destruction and preach to them. Now listen to me. I'm not commanded to sing to the bones. I'm not commanded. You know, a lot of churches turn their Wednesday night meeting into what they call a worship service, and all they have is singing. They call that worship. He didn't command Ezekiel to sing to the bones. Now I can and I do sing to the Lord. I won't sing his praises and sing my gratitude to him, but I'm not going to sing to the bones. You know, years ago when I pastored that little church down in Ball, Louisiana, we took the undeveloped part of the church cemetery and we moved the fence back a little bit, and that's where we built the parsonage. And I don't know how many of our subcontractors that would furnish the concrete and different things would back up there and say, you feel okay living out here next to that cemetery? I said, I feel a lot safer about them than I do about folks across the street. I don't fear the dead, I fear the living. Them dead folks ain't gonna do nothing to you. I'm no sing to the bones. I didn't go out there late in the evening and sing to the bones. I sing to the Lord, and I'm not commanded to pray to the bones. My prayers are to be directed to the Lord. And I'm not commanded to fellowship with the bones. That may come in time. That may come in time. What I am commanded to do by the only one who has to say any say-so in the matter is to preach to the bones. What am I going to tell them? What can you say to dry bones? Huh? Well, here's what the Lord said to say to them. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. They can't, but they can if he will. Huh? Lazarus was dead, wasn't he? The Lord stood before that tomb and he said, Lazarus? Somebody said if he hadn't called Lazarus, that whole graveyard would have got up. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Who heard him? That dead man in that tomb. Huh? You see, if your dependency is upon God and not the bones, then you do what God told you to do, and you don't look at the bones, and what good's that going to do? Huh? I don't even enter into it. It's what God said to do. He'll take care of the power behind it. He just told me to preach. Preach to the bones. Hear ye the word of the Lord. What did he preach to them? What's the word of God say to them? Huh? He tells them where this life is in his Son. In his Son. We've just gone through that in our Sunday school lesson, so I won't recap over all that. But he tells you everything that you need to know about Christ. That's the word of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And then, last of all, what does the word of the Lord have to say to these dry bones? Ezekiel 37, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Who's going to cause that breath to come? Billy Graham? Darvin Pruitt? No. No. The Lord God will cause that spirit of that breath to blow into them. And I'll lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring up flesh upon you, and I'll cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you'll live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. God doesn't save anybody who don't know who saved him. I asked a fellow one time, I said, what's your hope? If God took you out of this world right now, and called you up before the judgment seat of Christ and asked you, what's your hope? What would you say? Huh? What would you say? Everybody that God saves knows what to say. My hope's in Him. It's all in Christ. Christ is all. He's all. Every dead sinner who hears the word of the Lord and lives has the same testimony. I know that He's Lord. He's Lord. How you know that? Because I used to be a dry bone. That's why. And so God's prophet preached to the bones, and He gave them His word, and as He did, there was a noise. There was a noise. And a shaking. I don't know so much about the noise, but there was a lot of shaking on my part. You shake when you hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. And he looked at those bones, and those bones began to shake, and a great noise, and they began to resemble a man. There was a great battle fought in that valley, and people were whacked up with those big battle axes and swords, and there were bones laying everywhere. All of a sudden, bone began to come under bone. This bone from over there, over here, here you go, all coming together. And they began to resemble a man, but there was no breath in them, and so God called on him to prophesy unto the wind. That is the Holy Ghost. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so the Spirit of Christ did as he was sent to do. Well, what's all this got to do with us? Ezekiel 37:11. He said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is all God's elect. This is where they were. And this is where they are and what they are. And they're my workmanship. And I'll have all the glory. And Ezekiel knew it from start to finish. that it was all of the Lord. And all those bones testified of him. Every one of them knew it. Every one of them knew it. Put them where they belonged in his kingdom. Put them exactly where they belonged. Exactly as he had promised them before the foundation of the world. He said, you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I'll put you in my kingdom. What's that mean? Under his rule. He's king in his kingdom. I'll put you in my kingdom, and then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have performed it. Oh, may the Lord God do that very thing here today for Christ's sake. Thank you.